Good morning, everyone. It is my privilege to be here to share the Word of God with all of you. By the way, my name is Wallace Ong, like wall-less, no wall, so wall-less, no wall, yeah? So I'm a bit nervous. This morning, let me get ready. So, one of the things, end of a message, usually people come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, good message." And then this pastor asks, "Which part of the message you like?" He said, then the person answered, "The ending part." So if you come to me and say, "Pastor, good message," I will not ask you which part. Okay, let's come to the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for us to have this privilege to come before you and to be called your children. Oh Lord, help us today that as your servants speak forth your word, may your Holy Spirit touch each and every one of us. Let your word be proclaimed. Do not go in void, but the word will be rooted in each and every one of our heart. It brings comfort, it brings relief, it brings strength to each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right. So I titled this message, "Do Not Be Afraid," for Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. In this message, I believe it's very familiar to most of us, or all of us. And a lot of message being preached, Jesus, our God, be able to calm the storm. Then he'll be able to calm the storm in your life. Indeed, he will. But is it what in this text, the context is according to this text? Let us look at the text and what the text really say. Let us come together and read the word. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the wave broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciple woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the wave, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciple, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the wave obeyed him. Let us look. I split this from the text. I see this few things. First, Jesus is with us. Jesus is our help. Jesus is the Lord of the storm. Jesus loves us. Jesus is with us, right? As we look at the text here, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came out, and the wave broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. First, we see the storm is really, really heavy. You see, the boat is really swamped. But how furious, how strong, how big the wave and the storm actually is. We have to examine through your imagination. Maybe we cannot totally grasp it. But from the scripture, actually, God have give us very clearly explained to us how serious it is. Look at here. The disciple woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" From here, you get the clue that how serious the storm is. Why I say that? Look, 12 disciples of Jesus, 7 of them are fishermen. And out of these 7 fishermen, Sea of Galilee is their backyard. They grew up from that place since they were kids. They play in that lake. And imagine the fisherman fear for his own life. We are going to drown. That tells us how serious the storm actually is for the fisherman to fear for his own life. Okay? So, from that kind of storm, they took him along just as he was in the boat. If you were in that kind of storm, and you know Jesus is in the boat with you, would you feel comforted? Or would you rather be, there are also other boats with him, but he is not in their boat. So which boat would you like to be in? I would rather be in the boat that where Jesus is. Brother and sister, today, you are in that boat. We who are called ourselves the children of God, we who call ourselves Christian, we are in that boat and Jesus is in it. Praise the Lord. He has given us such grace. The creator of the universe, the mighty God, is in the boat with us. It is our privilege that to be called Christian, to be called children of God. It is such wonderful grace. You see, there is storm out there everywhere, living in this world, full of storm. But which boat you rather in? In the boat that where Jesus in, or in the boat that without? And also, brother and sister, if you thank God for you are in this boat, in the boat that where Jesus is, think about the people out there who are in the other boat where Jesus is not. Won't you like to bring them come on board to the same boat as where Jesus is? Would we do that for them? I think this is something we should ponder upon. We are in the good place. We are in the boat where Jesus is. But maybe our family member, maybe our relative, maybe our friends around us, they are not in that boat. They are also facing the storm in this world. A serious storm. A storm that even with their own skill, with their own talent, with their own ability, they cannot help it, just like this group of fishermen. With their own strength, with their own experience, they know the water, they know that Sea of Galilee, but they cannot do anything but fearfully that they're going to drown. So is so many of our friends, your relative, your family member out there are facing this such a challenge. But we, who are so privileged that Jesus is in the same boat with us, won't we want to extend the same invitation to them? Come on board and join my boat. So please, think about it, ponder about it, okay? And let's look at the other point here. Jesus is our help. Jesus is our help. How can we tell from this scripture to say that Jesus is our help? Let's just look at here. The disciple woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" You see, the disciple, 7 of them are fishermen. When they face a storm, right? What would be the most natural response? most likely will be, if, for example, if our brother and the sister, you are riding on a fisherman boat and you face a storm, what you think the fisherman will come to you and say? Hey, brother, the storm hitting really strong. You better put on the life jacket. We're probably going to drown. Make sure you follow me, okay? I get a rope tied on you, you follow me. Okay, don't run anywhere else. Don't simply jump off the boat. Most likely that will be the case, right? But what happened in this case? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? They are not telling Jesus, hey, Jesus, do you make sure you put on the life jacket? Maybe at that time don't have life jacket. Make sure you follow me. I will piggyback you. We three of us will carry you. We will swim to the shore. We are the fishermen. We know water. You're a carpenter. You don't. Right? But they didn't say that. They said, teacher, don't you care? Don't you care? What does that tell you? That you can help. Please help us now. We're going to drown. A fisherman seek help from their teacher who are not a fisherman. So from that part, we can see that they're seeking help from Jesus because deity of Jesus. He has some sort of connection with God. They believe that he'd be able to help them. So are we today, our brother and sister, when we are in trouble, when we are in need of help, who do we reach out to? Many of time, strangely, we were trying to fix the problem by ourselves. Or we probably pray about it, but do we really leave it up to God? Right? When you pray, have you lived it up to God? Or you still carry it with yourself? He is there to help us, and He is there ready to help us. Brother and sister, sometimes, strangely enough, we try to solve a problem ourselves when we have the mighty God that actually can create the universe, actually that give us the breath to breathe and the life to live. Yet, we think we are more capable to handle our problem than He is. So, brother and sister, I advise all of us today, submit our problem to our Lord. Seek for His help. Ask, and you shall receive the help from Him. Pardon? No more battery.
Hello. Okay. Did you all hear me okay just now? Should I repeat the sermon? No. Just kidding. Okay. You see, when we seek for help from Him, immediately He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the wave, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. It's all done. It's all done. For Jesus, all it takes is just He say a word. It's better than our 10,000 effort. Let's look at the third point here. Jesus is the Lord of the storm. Jesus is the Lord of the storm. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the wave, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. It was completely calm. The next verse. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the wave obey Him. Even the wind and the wave obey Him. brother and sister, a lot of time, we worship, we come to church, we read our Bible, we pray. But in our heart, do we really have this assurance? Our Lord, our God, is actually the one that has the authority over even the wind and the wave. Do we have that assurance in our heart in your prayer when you ask? Do you know who are you asking? The mighty God that has the power to calm the storm in all aspects of the creation. Let's just look at here. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. He even gave order to impure spirit, they obey him. The spiritual realm of the world, he has control over it. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. The disease world, the health world, he has control over it. Here, Mark chapter 5. Your daughter is dead, they say. Why bother the teacher anymore? He took her by hand and said to her, Talitha kum. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. He has the control over life and death. Jesus said, I am the life. Who believe in me will not die. Here the word Talitha kum is, little girl, get up, okay? It's not a magical spell that you use in your prayer and go resurrect people, okay? Okay, Jesus feeds the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6. He can create a thing out of nothing from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he multiplied and feed 5,000 and more. This is our God. Remember it when you pray. When you come to him, remember who he is. That gives us the confidence. That would lead you to ask yourself, who am I praying to? Okay? When you want to depend on your own strength, think about it. You have Jesus. You have Jesus with you. Do you think you can do better than Jesus? I remember during the time when my wife, we know the news that she got breast cancer back in 2016, December. I was so devastated. And as a man, as a husband, the first thing come into my mind, it was, I need to do something, whatever money can help buy to restore, to heal her. But at the time, we don't have health insurance. We don't have money. We don't have anything. So I was thinking, maybe I should go back out there to get a job, you know, make some call, and then they will give me a 3 month or 6 month bonuses usually, so that I will sign a contract with them for 3 years. If before 3 years I quit the job, I have to pay them back. So they can hold me on for 3 years contract, something like that. So I calculated, you know, 20,000 a month, 3 months bonus will be 60,000. 6 month bonus will be 120,000. That should be enough to pay for my wife's medical bill. You see, very first thing come into my mind is how can I help instead of how God help, how Jesus can help. And our God is so gracious. And I come to him to pray. You know, but that time, my prayer, actually not asking for him to help. My prayer was, because I'm getting ready to go to become a pastor in Merit in early 2017. So I come before the Lord, I say, Lord, I need to help my wife now. Maybe I cannot be the pastor. And then you know what the Lord said to me? Who is the healer? Who is the healer? Is the doctor or me? I kneel down on my knee and I weep. And I said, I confess that, Lord, I have sinned against you. You are the healer. You are the healer. I'm sorry, Lord. You know what? I said, I surrender everything into your hand. And we trust in you. We surrender everything of our family into your hand. And we trust that you will heal my wife. And true enough, that 4 month season we go through, my wife go to hospital, God assigned the doctor, which is the director of the cancer department, and the director of that cancer department said, you're so young, I'm going to save your breast, I'm going to do the 2 times of the surgery, it takes a lot more work, so that but I will clean it up for you, and I'll check everything throughout for you. And then, because this doctor is so famous, his queue is 1 year waiting list. But he told my wife, I will squeeze you in next month. And about the financial, God provide everything. You know, now I look back. If I depend on my strength at that time, if I go to get a job, yes, I might get the money to pay for the medical bill, but I might not get the best doctor. I do not even know which hospital to go. Next thing, the most important part, I will be working while she goes through the surgery and go through the trauma. But because I trust in God, I was with her every single day. I was there to support her. I was there to cry with her. I was there when she go to the doctor's office and she come out, she said, you know, this is so terrible because I have to take off my clothes and so many nurses and doctors have to examine it. You feel so hard, so difficult for a lady in her heart. But I was there to give her a hug and comfort her. Brother and sister, choose wisely our Lord or ourselves. He is there for us. He is the Lord of the storm. He controls all the things in our life. Last of all, Jesus loves us. You see, brother and sister, in this passage, let us look at here. Why we say Jesus loves us? From here, can you hear me up there? Yes? Okay. He said to his disciple, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? So, what is the faith that Jesus is talking about? Do they really have no faith? So when we come to the scripture, when we read it, in this part, no faith, really want to ask ourselves, what kind of faith Jesus is talking about? No faith to what? You see, teacher, don't you care if we drown? They are seeking help from Jesus. You see, the fisherman seeking help from the carpenter. You got it? We have a fisherman, know the water, but seeking help from the carpenter. What does that tell you? They know Jesus can help them. They know Jesus is able to help them. Which means somehow they have the faith in what Jesus can do. But then why our Lord still say that, do you still have no faith? What is God actually say to them? What is Jesus actually trying to tell them? Brother and sister, this is what Jesus is trying to tell them. And this is what I want all of us really take to heart. Jesus is trying to say, do you still have no faith that I love you? And I love you so much that I die for you on the cross. I come from heaven down to earth for your sake. I come to get you. I come to redeem you. I come to bring you with me and give you the eternal life so that you can spend eternal life with me. And that's how much Jesus loved us. He loved us to the point that he wants us to spend eternally life with him. It is not our doing. It is his doing. He initiated that because he loved each and every one of us here. Do you have that confidence that how he loved you? Brother and sister, when we have that assurance and the confidence, we will be sleeping like Jesus in that boat. When the wave and the storm come, Jesus was sleeping soundly. Why? Because he knows his Father in heaven loved him so much. He will never, ever let him drown. Imagine this. I remember when my son was really young, a few months old. And every time he cried in the next door of the room, both of us would get up and run to open the door. What happened? What happened? You see him, what happened? Why would we do that? Imagine, I believe a lot of us here are parents. I think you do the same thing when your child is crying in the other room and you didn't see it. You run to him or run to her. Why would we do that? Because we love our child. But did our child did any good thing? Did our child did anything so that is pleasing to us? Do we actually receive anything from them? No. But we just love them. We just so naturally love them. We're willing to give our life to them. I still remember my wife when she was pregnant and in the 8th month and her blood pressure shot up really high. And the doctor said, you must go to delivery room now and do the operation, C-section. And when they're putting up the epidural, my son's heart rate dropping really quickly. And they are pulling all the wire and the cable, I don't know what it is. They're pushing her to the operation theater. And as they're pushing her, my wife holds my hand and tell me, if they ask you to choose between me and our son, make sure you choose him. She don't even know him, but she already loves him. How much more is our Father in heaven who loves us? That's why the Bible says, before the world, he already know you, know me. Before the world, he already loved you and loved me. Brother and sister, and he come for you and he come for me. If you have this assurance in our life, you will have the ultimate peace of God in us. Whatever storm that you have go through, you'll sleep soundly like Jesus. Okay, let us see here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32 to 35. He who died not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or dangers or sword? In this scripture, it tells you, God have given the most precious Son to us to die for our sin? Would He not give everything to us? In other words, this scripture also gives you the assurance, everything you ask in His name, He will want to give it to you because you are His beloved children. But then, that's why He said, what is the trouble? What is the hardship in your life? Is that a persecution, famine, nakedness, dangers, or sword that it cannot be resolved? Because He's willing to give you everything. He gives you His Son. So, what does that mean? God would give us the best thing for us, not necessarily the thing that we think is best for us. I give you a testimony. I remember when after my wife got the cancer, we pray and we ask God, why, Lord? You can heal her. We pray. The cancer will be removed without going through operation or whatsoever. We trust that God can do it. And we say, we pray accordingly. I said, Lord, we see in the Bible, you have done all these things. The leprosy. What is this cancer to you? And when you can heal the leprosy when it's so serious? This is nothing. This is piece of cake. But then, no. We thought, God, why didn't you answer? So that both of us can serve you together and can really work with focus, working and serving. But no. We go through the operation and the therapies, and then my wife have to take the medication to block all the hormone because the cancer cell is a hormone receptive positive. So once she start taking that, all the side effects come in. She cannot sleep at night and for months. And we go to see the doctor to subscribe some. She fall into depression. Then we seek help from the doctor. Maybe need to prescribe her some depression medication. And the doctor said the depression medication will cause the effectiveness of the hormone blocking medication, tamoxifen. So we have no choice but not taking it. So, week after week, month after month, one after another, from cannot sleep, lead to depression, and lead to a lot of emotion issue, physical pain. So, the storm upon storm upon storm upon storm and come to us. We just newly moved to Miri. We even haven't even unloaded our luggage and our car from in our cargo. And my wife just come out from the therapy and everything. She really rushing me. She said, "Go, go, go! Don't worry. We just go. You have to start the ministry there. You have committed to them." So we go. But the storm hitting seriously for 2 years. We pray and we go through this. But by the strength of God, it helped us to go through it. But now we look back. Now we look back. God, did He answer our prayer? Yes, He did. He did answer our prayer. Because through this time, both of us come closer to Him. We know Him dearer. He becomes so real in our life. And I have changed. Before, if I visit a sick patient, I will offer a prayer. I will pray for you. But then, in my heart, I don't know how painful they feel. I don't know how painful their family member feel. I just pray. But now, when I meet with the sick and a patient and their family, I understand what they have gone through. Now I don't just offer prayer. I sit with them, quietly sit with them, listen to them, hold their hand. I don't throw all the scripture quotation to them. Hey, do this, do this, do this. Look, this is what Bible says, this is what God says, this is what God says. Trying to encourage them. No, I just be there, listen. Be there, cry together with them. Be there, hold their hand. God have changed me. God also have changed my wife. So from this season, she learned a lot. And she learned how God loved her and how she can depend on Him. Brother and sister, is that a prayer answer? Yes. The prayer answered not to take away the cancer right away, but most important of all, to get us to know Him, to get us, our life got transformed. Our life changed. He becomes so real to us, so dear to us than ever before. We hold Him so tight in many nights, in tears, and in prayer, and in the scriptures, reading. And that's how my wife get out from depression. And that's how today, praise the Lord, praise God, and when I lead my young adult Bible study, he said, "Pastor, why you can have so much insight in the Word of God?" And we see that a lot of the study you have teach us is not the knowledge, but you know the Shepherd. Because many nights on my knees, many nights I cling on to Him, I speak to Him, I pray to Him, I read His Word, I meditate to His Word. Brother and sister, God answered my prayer. And this is what it says. Would He not give you the best? He will choose only the best to give to you. But the best that He chooses for you, not necessarily what you think it is. That's why He said, He will give you all things that will help you through the persecution, the famine, nakedness. Nothing can separate you from His love to you. You see, most important of all, He wants us to build this love relationship with us. Next verse we can see here. No, in all these things we are more than conqueror through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angel or demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother and sister, do we have that realization? Do we have that assurance? Nothing, absolutely nothing at all can separate us from Him. He loves you so dearly. It is His intention, His initiation, His will for us to spend eternal life with Him, for us to be with Him, for us to be on His, I always imagine, on His lap, cuddle with Him so dearly, just like how I cuddle my son. This is our Father in heaven. This is how He loves you and me, my brother and sister. Do you think that He would actually let you drown? He would actually forsake you? He come and die for you. He come and take hold of you. It is not our effort. Let's have that assurance in us. That's why here say Jesus. He is with us. He is our help. He is the Lord of the storm. He loves us. And now I want to show you this. In the scripture as well. He said to His disciple, "Let us go over to the other side." He said to His disciple, Let us go over to the other side. They took him along. In our life today, when Jesus commands us with his word, are we doing it obediently, just like these 12 disciples? Are we taking Jesus along in all that we do in our life? So a lot of time, when we look at it, when we do that, when we obey to his word, and when we take him along, when we follow him, he is with us. His help is with us. He will calm the storm for us, and we are his beloved, brother and sister. So here, that's what Jesus said to his disciples. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. You see, the peace that God gives to us is not about there's no storm in your life. There's everything is quiet, everything is smooth, everything is good. But what he has for us is the peace so that we know that he loves us. We be able to ride through the storm with peace because we know that he is with us. It is not storm-free life, but we can ride through the storm. And that is the kind of life God wants us to have. That's what he says here in his word. I have told you this thing so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you see, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It is not that a trouble-free life, but we will have peace because our Lord have overcome the world. So, brother and sister, the peace that God gave us is to know that he so loves us. When we can depend on him, we can hold on to him. He is our help. He is the Lord that can command the storm and the wave. And this peace should be stored in our heart. In every storm that we go through, we should have the peace because our Lord has overcome the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We come before you. We praise you and we thank you, O Lord, who we are, that we make of dust, and yet you so love us. And you want us to be your children. And you want to hold us so tight. And you love us so dearly. Lord, let us today, all of us, and we really hold on to you. And Father, grant us this assurance in our heart to know that we have you with us and you so love us. No matter what is the storm we are facing in this season, we shall not be fear. We shall not be fear. We will have peace because you have overcome the world. Thank you, Father. Grant us this peace. Let us have the realization of this peace in us. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen.